Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning.
It is the Savage Nation. We're listening to the song of the late communist Pete Seeger, who died at age 94. God rest his soul for having destroyed so many generations with his philosophies. But nevertheless, it's the way of the flesh. It's the way of all flesh, as a matter of fact. And after many a summer dies the swan, even Pete Seeger had to eventually go across the river Hades. But here we are today facing the State of the Union Address, which is so ho-hum it's frightening. Ho-hum to listen to that idiotic applause. If I have to watch the vice president sit there clapping like a trained seal at every burp that Obama gives, every burp, every gurgle, there's the applause like trained seals. What an idiotic nation we have. I don't know how this nation functions with such children running everything. Why do they have to applaud at every burp of the president, whether it be Republican or Democrat? Tell me, where did this tradition begin? Nobody knows. But it's idiotic. It's embarrassing. They ought to really change it a bit. But we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the executive order issue. And I'm going to give you some meat to go with your potatoes on the Savage Nation. We know that every president since George Washington have issued what we have come to know as executive orders. Now, what is an executive order? Well, it's a loosely, legally defined term in the U.S. Constitution that gives any president the power, quote, to take care that the laws are fully executed. Listen to what I said. Not to make law, not to write law, but to take care that the laws are fully executed. Not to write law, not to make law. It was not meant for a president to become a dictator, right? So, until the 1900s, most executive orders went unpublished, and they were not even seen by anyone other than the agency that the order was intended for. Some of the executive orders were used to buy public land, some to regulate industry and trade, but others had far greater impact. For example, the Emancipation Proclamation was an executive order by Lincoln. So was the New Deal by FDR. President Lincoln suspended the writ of habeas corpus during the Civil War. President Roosevelt established internment camps for the Japanese during World War II. The desegregation of the armed forces in 1948 are all examples of policies that were passed with executive orders. Then there's Woodrow Wilson and his fascination with the Panama Canal. Back in those days, men would hunt at night by torch. This became so widespread in the canal zone that President Wilson, made the use of hunting with a lantern, torch, bonfire, or other artificial light a misdemeanor. Well, what the heck, who cares about that? But listen to this. Old Bill Clinton, old Twinkly Eye himself, took the United States to war against the Serbs with an executive order. In fact, Kosovo was stolen from the Serbs with an executive order. In fact, the issue of how much military power a president may exercise by executive order remains unsolved to this day. But tonight, Obama will probably hint that he's going to use executive orders. His henchman, really his hatchet man, Podesta, who they just dragged in from somewhere, I don't know where he was residing, had this to say in clip one. He says he's going to use it. Listen to clip one. I guess we'll get clip one of these years as soon as the
time dries. He believes, and the Justice Department believes, he has the authority to make progress to strengthen the middle class, give people opportunity in this country. He will take it.
But he doesn't like to do this, does he?
I think he's warmed up to it, and I think you'll see that across a wide range of topics, including retirement security, moving forward on his climate change and energy transformation agenda.
Climate change in the midst of the worst winter storms in many a decade. Our brilliant leader, our world leader is going to talk about climate change as though he can do anything about it. It's all a scam anyway. It's made to enrich his friends and his benefactors and his mainly his donors to the Democrat Party. That's all it's about. Climate change is a scam. It's a scam of the highest order. In the midst of a storm, he's going to talk about climate change. But don't think that a president can use the executive order freely. I'm going to give you an example of when it wasn't accepted. In 1952, Harry Truman issued Executive Order 10340 that put steel mills with striking workers under federal control. Well, the executive order was challenged, and the Supreme Court ruled the executive order invalid in Youngstown Sheet and Tube Company versus Sawyer. Why? Because this executive order attempted to make law rather than clarify or act to further a law put forth by the Congress or the Constitution. The Constitution. Now, before I continue on my discussion of executive orders and Obama's threats to use them, Podesta's hints he's going to use them, Pelosi's implication he's going to use them, I'm going to ask you a loaded question just to show you how interested America really is in this crypto dictatorship that's emerging. Which executive order do you fear most from Obama? I'll make it very basic, very meat and potatoes. If Obama were to issue executive orders, which executive order do you most fear? 855-400-7282 will get you to reach more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. 855-400-7282. Which executive order do you fear most from Obama? Now, it was Roosevelt who issued the most executive orders. And he's a big mentor of Obama. Yep, FDR issued the most executive orders. He issued 3,728 orders between 1933 and 1945 as the country dealt with the Great Depression and World War II. So it's not comparing apples to apples, what I'm about to tell you. 3,728 executive orders. I mean, we're in World War II. Some of them could have been as benign as we're going to increase production of the P-51 Mustang. We can't wait for Congress. Just go ahead and make the planes. Could have been another executive order to increase the number of Sherman tanks. We're doing it. We can't wait for Congress. We understand that. It wasn't a scam. We were fighting for our survival. President G.W. Bush issued 291 orders over 8 years. Clinton, 364 orders during his two terms. Okay. Barack Obama, as of January 14, 2014, has issued only 167 executive orders. Sounds benign, right? But have you looked at some of the executive orders? Do you know which one was the most dangerous of all? See, I don't look at numbers. I look at what they do. And I have to refer to an executive order right now, which I put on the back of one of my books. I want to get it exactly right. I don't remember everything that I write. I can paraphrase it, but I don't want to get it wrong. And I'm going to get the book, Trickle Down Tyranny, because I tried to warn America, but America slept. America slept because they were being misled by those in the media who have debased me, tried to defame me, didn't come to my aid when I was banned in Britain. They're all running to the aid of D'Souza, whatever his name is. I think is this D'Souza? And they should. Dinesh D'Souza. Amish D'Souza. Amish D'Souza. Mishmash Pazuzu. We should defend Mishmash Pazuzu. He shouldn't have been picked on for the donation. But all of those good conservatives who are oh so concerned about Mimesh Mampuza had nothing to say about their competitor and their superior in radio, Michael Savage. But this book, Trickle Down Tyranny, warns you what he did. You know what he did? What did he do? Do you have any idea which executive order he passed one New Year's Eve and how it may affect your life? It's all in trickle-down tyranny. But which executive order do you fear most from this cunning fox in the White House? Now, the fact of the matter is, I can tell it to you, but why do it right off the bat? Why not have you do it? Which executive order do you fear most? Now, I will not talk about the Super Bowl, although I probably won't watch it, maybe for a minute or two. You may watch it. It doesn't mean that you're an idiot if you do. Most Americans will watch it, with myself excluded. I can't watch it. Once in a while, I watch it just to be an American so I don't get banned deported. I'm always afraid that if the NSA, who is obviously screening not only what we do and say, but also what we watch, I have a feeling they're going to do a patriotic poll. And if you don't watch the Super Bowl, you're probably going to be investigated by a government agency as being somehow un-American. You see, the world is upside down under Obama. While we had a rational committee called HUAC, the House of Un-American Activities Committee, if we had it today, Obama would be in prison. If we had a UAC committee today, most of Congress would be in prison for sedition because they're enacting laws that are so anti-American that we don't even accept it, that they're happening in front of our eyes. If we had a legitimate UAC, most of our leadership would be put into prison for sedition. To show you how upside down it is. At least it's one man's opinion. 855-407-282. We're off and running at the races. Which executive order do you fear most? As you well know, he is definitely going to use more executive orders to get things done. And I want to now go to clip number two from his snake, Podesta. Listen to snake two, clip two from
There's
Podesta.
A lot that he has the authority to do that's vested in him under the laws of the United States and his constitutional powers. And I think that he's looking forward to a year of action, and I think he's looking forward to tonight as a breakthrough year where he can lay out some of these practical concrete ideas that will get people's on more stable economic
footing. Okay, let's stop right there. And that's all nonsense. It has nothing to do with jobs. It has simply one intention as executive orders, to increase his power and to reward his cronies. Now, there's an operational word that you may have missed that the snake Podesta used. Given that he's from the far left and given that he's a, let us say, related to Soros in so many ways I can't even describe them to you, Podesta is Soros' puppet on a string in many ways. Soros funds a lot of his organizational operations. And when he used a key word, my hair stood up. Podesta just said he's looking forward to a year of action. You have to be a student of the radical left, as I am, to know what he means by that. The radical left has used a series of code words to get what they want through a sort of fascism. It's called direct action. If you were to study what direct action has meant, you'll understand what Podesta means by a year of action from the president. So before I take my first and most important commercial break, it's most important because I want you to stay listening, because if you give me 15 minutes, I'll give you America. And you haven't given me 15 minutes. You've given me approximately 14 minutes. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Hey,
the Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing that there's no federal intervention here.
Weekdays, noon till 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
It's the Savage Nation. Look, I will not talk about the Super Bowl. I will not talk about what I ate for lunch because I don't eat lunch anymore. And the fact of the matter is, say, oh, well, all those right-wingers do is bash Obama. Well, hey, someone's got to do it. I mean, it's difficult work, but someone's got to do it. When you've got a bunch of drug addicts in the media who won't do it, waiting for a job under Soros or Obama, and you got a bunch of sycophants in the media who don't know how to do it because they don't have the brains to do it, someone's got to do it. So once in a while, I'll do it. I try not to make it my stock and trade, because admittedly, it's boring. But if he's going to give the speech of the year tonight, I mean, it's a good topic. What do we fear from this man through an executive order, since that's all we've been hearing? I'm going to use the pen. That's him. Podesta the snake is brought in to say he's going to do direct action, basically. The White House Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough, says that he's going to use executive orders to get things done, so I shouldn't talk about it. Who should talk about it? MSNBC? Owned by General Electric? In business only to cover for the no taxes that they pay, in my opinion? So I asked you a question. Which executive order do you fear most? It's that simple, but you can't get on anymore. It's too late. Sorry, we're sold out. The tent is full. The revival tent is so full that the canvas is bursting at the seams. They were all milling about on the outside of the revival tent, and Preacher Savage started going strong on this issue of executive orders, and before you knew it, there wasn't a seat in the House. It was the night before POTUS went all through the House. Is it POTUS? What is POTUS? President of the United States. No, it's State of the Union. They have another acronym for it, State of the Union. SOTUS, State, SOT, S-O-U-T, suit, suit, empty SOTUS. So tonight's the empty SOTUS speech. But I asked you a loaded question, and I have the answer for you. You can give me your answer. I wrote Trickle Down Tyranny a year ago. And here's what I wrote. Tyranny of a Naked Marxist Presidency. Turn it off. Turn the show off and go listen to the Balloon Man. See if I care. And here's what I try to warn to you. Do you remember what happened on December 31st, 2011, when you were partying? Let me remind you. It's on page 22 of Trickle Down Tyranny. Barack Obama signed into law legislation that spelled out his power as President of the United States to detain any U.S. citizen indefinitely on the grounds that he or she might be a, quote, terrorist. The National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, which the president had earlier promised to veto, represents the single most egregious rollback of American civil liberties in our nation's history, I wrote. Obama made the move under cover of America's New Year's Eve party, while most Americans were more concerned with getting drunk than with losing their freedom. Even the normally supine ACLU and human rights leftists were stunned by the naked tyranny of the president signing this bill into law. Obama insisted that the reason he signed the bill was to guarantee funding for the military to support our troops. In the process, he deprived U.S. citizens of the very freedom for which our military is fighting. Now, I could go into this in greater detail. Many of you bought my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, but many of you are new listeners and don't know who you're listening to. Get a copy of the book in paperback. I'm trying to tell you, I am the actual Paul Revere in America. In fact, I once created the Paul Revere Society back in the year 2000, way back when, before it became a comic book, before people posed in the hat, before people posed with Revere wear in their hands. I actually am the Paul Revere of radio, and I try to warn you through many of my books, and Trickle Down Tyranny was the most important book that I've ever written to date, but it didn't go anywhere. And it didn't go anywhere because you believe those who bashed me. You listened to the bashers who put me down. You took the bait and listened to the lies of those who don't have the intellect or the guts to say it like it is. I can't help you. All I can do is tell you what I think. Again, already a break? I'm glad. Otherwise, there'd be no show. See, here's the thing to remember. If there were no breaks, there'd be no show. Because without funding, there's no show. Without advertisers, there's no show. Don't let anyone fool you. That's why you need the breaks. You should be glad when you hear the music. It means that there's ads coming up, and I suggest you patronize them, for God's sakes.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
As we sit here and try to make sure that there's access to good-paying jobs, high-tech manufacturing, retirement security for Americans, rather than sit and wait for Congress to take action, we're going to go ahead and roll out on our own using the president's authorities. We'll look to work with Congress where we can, but I think as we've seen over the last several years now, Congress sometimes is a little slow to action. We're not going to wait for that.
We're not going to wait for that. All cumbersome democracy. Oh, it's just so cumbersome. And we have such a slick guy in the White House. He doesn't have to wait. That's Speedy Gonzalez in the White House. He can't wait for that cumbersome Congress. So he'll just do it by sort of fiat, executive order, fascism, in other words, by any other name. And he'll do it under the guise of jobs for the middle class. You watch and see. So we now, what's the 28th? This is season 20, episode 19 of The Savage Nation. As I said to the new listeners, each show is connected to the shows that preceded it in some way or other. And this is my 20th year, so it's season 20. And each day is another episode, 16, 17, 18. This is 19 already. See, oh, tomorrow's 2020. Whoa. This is season 20, episode 19. Now, season 20, episode 18, which was yesterday, you missed that. You missed my discussion of carbophobia amongst the red diaper dopa babies, and Hillary Clinton's new movie called Driving Bubba Crazy if she doesn't get elected. There was humor yesterday, but of course no one caught it because I'm the bad boy and no one hears what I say. They just look for me to make a mistake, which I never do, or to whatever. But yesterday was carbophobia and driving Bubba crazy. Today's topic, for those of you who keep track, is which executive order do you fear most that Obama will initiate? It's simple. But it's to the point. And we hear already now the Snake Podesta, a George Soros minion, the White House Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough, saying that we'll go around Congress if we have to. So get ready. You have a Homeland Security Director who no one ever heard of, who says that illegal aliens have earned the right to be citizens. That is right out of 1984. It makes no sense. How could you be here illegally and earn the right to be a citizen when legal immigration requires that you wait in line, learn the language, take a test? How could they earn the right to be a citizen if they can't read or write the language? If they don't know who the president of the United States was before Obama? How can they earn the right to be anything but deported? Well, anyway, we live in strange times, and strange times makes for strange bedfellows. So the best thing for me to do right now is, do we have Pelosi? We're working on a Pelosi soundbite with Looney Tunes behind it. That's wonderful. And we'll get that for you in a moment. But which executive order you fear most is a really good topic, I must say. I really like the topic, because it will affect liberals as well. They don't understand that. They think they're going to be immune. They don't understand that an executive order is like a virus. It doesn't discriminate. Write that one down. You haven't heard it before. You haven't heard that one down. You haven't heard that yet, have you? An executive order is like a virus. It does not discriminate. And I don't care who the president is. You got to watch out for their executive orders, because they're superseding our constitutional, the powers that were granted by the Constitution. Remember what I said to you at the outset of the show tonight. The executive order does not permit a president to write law. It gives him the power to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. He can't make law. If he does, he's impeached. If he does, that's it. Toast. Gone. But we don't have a separation of powers anymore. We have Clink on the other side and no news to speak of. Now let's get ready for Nancy Pelosi. We did not treat President Bush this way with the Looney Tunes sound behind it. Phil, fire away.
We did not treat President Bush this way. We worked with him to pass the biggest energy bill, to do the TARP, as I mentioned, to do the PEPFAR and the AIDS drug, to do many things. We posed him a war in Iraq, and we opposed him on the privatizing Social Security. But we thought we had a responsibility to work with the president to get a job done for the American people, and we did. The subscription to President Obama is something quite stunning and something quite different.
That's all, folks. Nancy Pelosi is outraged that we did not treat President Bush this way. Oh, no. You didn't hear the best part of it. She said that the GOP is anti-government, anti-science, and anti-Obama. So you mean all Democrats are science geniuses? They're all science geniuses. That's really an amazing statement. All of the GOP is anti-science. What, because they don't agree that there's global warming, Nancy, and it's slowing up the contracts flowing into San Francisco? No, they're not anti-science. There's a blizzard in the East Coast right now. I guess you don't know about it because you live in San Francisco. I think it's going to be shivering, Shiver City tonight. And he'll be sitting up there saying, we have to worry about global warming. And so, we're living in an insane time, totally insane. And all you can do in an insane time is laugh at them, because they're ultimately just laughable. Dangerous, but laughable. All we've got left is our humor, our sarcasm, our cynicism, our ridicule. And let me remind you of something else. The First Amendment was passed to protect offensive speech. And I'll tell you something else if you don't know it. The First Amendment is unnecessary in a dictatorship. The First Amendment is unnecessary for polite speech. The First Amendment was meant to protect offensive speech. It was meant to protect dissension. Dissension of the type you're hearing tonight on the Savage Nation. And I stand in opposition to this emerging dictatorship. I am not going to stand here and I'm not going to salute this man in the White House. I will not do it. He has debased the institution itself. Yesterday I talked about the despicable nature of American culture as exemplified by the so-called Grammy Awards, where every other word was a filthy rapper word, a piece of garbage from the gutter. Gutter garbage of the lowest order, with vocabularies of no more than 50 words, were rewarded by idiots who speak 60 words, who gave them an award. That's bad enough. But most of them have been invited to the White House. Obama has debased the institution itself by inviting these lowlifes to the White House. You have any idea what goes on in the White House? They're, most of them are closed. No president in modern history has led such a closed shop as this man, because he's hiding an awful lot. And anyone with a brain knows that. So I stand in opposition to this president and this presidency, and I stand in opposition to those of you who don't stand in opposition to him. You should know better. You should know better. What, you're too busy eating pizza wings? Pizza and chicken wings tonight, watching the speech? You're going to eat wings and pizza tonight? Is that what you're going to do? I don't understand the country I live in anymore. How do people get this stupid? You know, people with less education are smarter. The colleges today are just brainwashing institutions. Unless they're in a hard science, they're worthless. Don't even go. Just brainwashing. I'll give you an example. No, I can't. It's actually it's too incendiary. There's a local college where a boy was raped by another man. You didn't hear the story? I got to tell you the coverage of the story in the San Francisco newspaper. It says, students on alert after incidents. So read the story. The story is, a student, a college student in his 20s, came out into the parking lot 7:30 at night, got in his car, and there was a man, no description, a man in the car was waiting for him with a gun. The man made him drive somewhere and then raped him. And then the victim ran away, got away. Now, there it says, be on the lookout for the man, no description. But all the students on the campus know what the boy rapist looked like. You're not allowed to say what the man looked like because it might offend certain people. You can pretty much figure it out because the picture is not of a white male wearing a cross. And so you understand how the country has fallen into such disrepair. It's because of the cowards and the drug addicts in the media. That's why. The police know who the perp, what the perp looks like, but they're not allowed to tell you for fear it might be profiling. So I guess everyone should look in their back seat now when they get into their car at the College of Marin. They should absolutely bring a flashlight, check the back seat to make sure that there's not a man lying in the back seat. Or perhaps they can carry a gun. They can get a right to conceal and carry a gun. And if someone tries to rape them, perhaps they can defend themselves instead of running like scared chickens. But then again, what do you fear the most? Which executive order do you fear the most? If he should pass it, what would it be? What's your most horrendous fear of all? Yes, I am tapping into your fears. Because you have them, and they're real, and they're based on the reality of his minions warning us that he's going to try and get away with as much as he can. Podesta said it. McDonough said it. Everyone in the Democrat caucus has said, go ahead, go for it. Use action, use direct action. Whatever you have to do, buddy, go ahead, go for it. No one will stop you. After all, you're God. You're God. You know, but to his credit, Clink came out of the cloakroom and said, we have a constitution. Do we have that soundbite? We have, no, not the Clink soundbite. I mean Clink saying that we have a constitution. Boehner came out on that, and he said that too. All right, he said it. We have it? Just the
president this week reminded people that he has, quote, a pen and a phone. I would remind the president he also has a constitution and an oath of office that he took where he swore to faithfully execute the laws of our country. There's no reason that this year can't be a bipartisan year to work on the issue of our economy and get Americans back to work.
Good for Clink. Let's have a hand, a round of applause for Clink. He finally did his job. Cheers to Clink. But the thing is, Clink's going to come up with amnesty for illegals. That's going to wipe away the window dressing he just gave us. He just gave us some mayonnaise, some bad dressing for the salad he's about to dish out. All right, KSFO in my hometown of San Fran. I can't even say the city anymore. I ridiculed the name so long I can't even say it correctly. Let me slow down because I love the city. Let me say it again. Bob on KSFO in San Francisco. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I'm actually in Coronado, California, San Diego area. My comment is regarding the executive orders. My fear is that the Democrats will enact, or Obama will enact, whatever he wants to do, any confiscatory thing regarding money that you have. But my biggest fear in 2015, they will completely turn it around and then scaremonger that the Republicans will actually use executive order against the people, against the common man, to reverse things. And then in the end, they'll use this as a tactic.
Well, that's right. The executive order could be used by a Republican president to wipe away all of this fascism that we've been living through, from the NDAA to the spying, whatever it may be, that affects all of us, irrespective of our party policies. And they should be wiped out by executive order because they went beyond the scope of the presidency. And they should be eliminated by the next president, if there is another president. That's if you're optimistic enough to believe we'll actually get there, which some of us don't believe will actually happen, by the way. And I thank you for that call. 855-407-282, that opens up a line to the Michael Savage Show. One man's opinion. I want to, again, give you a caveat. And the caveat is, this is only one man's opinion. I am not invited to the State of the Union address tonight, nor would I go. First of all, I don't travel. I don't travel well. I'm like fine wine. I mean, I travel when I have to. But like fine wine, I prefer to stay in my cask. Otherwise, if you move me around too much, the tannins, you know, go into liquefaction, and when you drink it, you'll get the liquefied version of the tannins rather than the taste of the wine that you want at the top of the bottle from settling properly. A, I don't travel much, and B, what in the world would I want to go to the State of the Union for? I can't stand watching it on television. I don't go to an opera because I can't stand perfume and applause. I don't go to the symphony. I'd rather put it into a CD player, or in your case, an MP3 player. I realize that's a few years old, but I actually bought a new CD player to use some of my great CDs. I mean, what, I'm going to throw them out, convert them to MP3s? I like to see. I'm visual. I'm tactile. I have to see my CDs. I want to see I'm playing Art Farmer. I want to see I'm playing Art Farmer. Or if I want to play Farmer Gray, I want to see it's Farmer Gray. But the point is, why would you want to go to such a thing? And what, with the glad-handing and the slapping on the back and the talking and the noise and the hectic mania? What's it for? I don't understand it. It's nothing. It's a waste of time. It's all pomp and circumstance. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Talk 560
ESFO. Tonight we'll hear from the president a message that is hopeful, that is optimistic, that is about opportunity, about an economy that works for everyone, and that we'll have a year of action as we go forward. I think it's important to note, as you talk about the poll, when you talk about how the economy works for men versus women, that we have an initiative: when women succeed, America succeeds. It's not only good for women, but it's good for our economy.
Another oppressed woman. Another oppressed woman, Nancy Pelosi. Another downtrodden member of the fairer sex. That's all, folks. Unbelievable. They just don't go off script. You'll notice she used the code word action again. We've heard the word action from three different minions of the Obama administration. Code word for direct action. If you research it, these are code words of the radical left. Direct action means violence. That's what it means. It means violence. That's what direct action means. It means breaking windows if necessary, unleashing the criminals in the Occupy movement to smash windows and beat up police horses, set garbage cans on fire, and even more. That's what she means by action, in my opinion. That do it our way or we threaten to burn a city down. Is it any wonder I have to put in the Looney Tunes part of it in order to get through it? You know, yesterday I went, a friend of mine just sent me an email saying, Michael, I am in a salad bar laughing and screaming out loud listening to your show on my headphones. They're about to throw me out. I don't even know what I've said that would make him laugh. What have I said that's funny? What have I said? What have I done? What did I do? What is so funny? What's so funny about the tragedy that we're living that we're living through? I don't, you know, all I do is look at the news and comment as though I'm standing around with you, standing on a corner, watching some fascist nuts go by. Brother, you can't find a better occupation. Neither can I. Oh, standing on a corner, watching some fascist nuts go by. That's what it is. They're all a bunch of little petty fascist martinets marching around and strutting, and everyone knows who they are. You can't find a better occupation. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Give me 15 minutes.
Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Tonight we'll hear from the president a message that is hopeful, that is optimistic, that is about opportunity, about an economy that works for everyone, and that we'll have a year of action as we go forward. I think it's important to note, as you talk about the poll, talk about how the economy works for men versus women,
Another oppressed woman. Standing on the corner, watching all those libs, no jobs.
Watching all the girls
go by. Welcome to the Savage Nation, season 20, episode 19 of the Savage Nation, episode 19. And we're focusing tonight on which executive order do you fear most from the President of the United States of Democrat Socialist Republic of America, because Pelosi used the code word action. You're going to see a year of action. And many of you are not as politically astute as I am. I do this for a living. I know code words. She used the word action. McDonough used the word action. He's the head guy inside the White House. I guess he's the gatekeeper, chief of staff. Podesta the snake used the word action. So they're all reading from the same script where the word action is used, and it comes from the radical left. If you look it up, direct action was written originally by a man named Voltairine de Cleyre, something you haven't heard on the Geniuses shows. They all know about, Alinsky. And then you call me and tell me about Alinsky, even though I wrote about it before. They talk about, Alinsky. But you haven't heard about Voltairine de Cleyre, 1866 to 1912. She was an American anarchist, feminist writer, and theorist, who they all quote right now. It's been picked up by the illegitimate radical left in the universities. And she used the words direct action originally. Direct action is originally used by an anarchist feminist. That's where the term direct action came from. And direct action meant violence. That's what it means in plain English. It's a threat of violence if they don't get their way. It's used in the military, in the context of special operations. DA consists of short-duration strikes and other small-scale offensive actions conducted as a special action. So direct action to stop the war, again, from the far left. But now we have an anti-war activist in the White House, at least using the rhetoric and the power of the anti-war movement, to wage war on America every way he can. And what it means is using anything necessary, by all means necessary, strikes, demonstrations, or sabotage to achieve a political or social end. Now, since he's president, he doesn't have to use sabotage, but he can incite those, such as the anti-one percenters, Occupy movement, any one of large numbers of unemployed bums who are living on government largesse, to go out and cause a mayhem and to scare the middle class into a submission, in plain English. Now, the best way you do that is talk about in your speech helping the middle class while attacking the middle class. Civil disobedience, culture jamming, leafleting, micro-broadcasting. This is all what the far left specializes in. And so when I tell you, watch out when you hear the word action being used over and over and over again, and then I break into a song called Standing on the Corner Watching All Those Lib Snow Jobs Go By, you'll understand that you got to laugh at them at the end of the day, because it's all we've got left, because we don't have any way to fight them other than through direct action. It's that simple. You can fight fire with fire. And if you want me to go into the historic model of what happened in the Weimar Republic and how Hitler came to power, which I dread, first of all, there's no one of that caliber, thank God, in America today. And I say that caliber because although he was a madman and a fascist and a racist, he was a genius, and everyone knows that. But we don't have anyone capable of leading a counter-revolution against the communist revolution going on in this country today. But, you know, you can mince words all you want, because many of you are so brainwashed, you think that if there's a communist revolution, they have to be marching down the streets with red berets singing the National. It doesn't work that way. That's not how it works anymore. Things have changed. We've gone past the teletype. And so that form of communism is the teletype of the left. The internet communist today does it in a different way. He's smooth. He's never raises his voice. He talks about jobs. He talks about the middle class while eroding the middle class, constantly eroding the middle class, constantly erasing the bourgeoisie. This is what the communist of today does. Make no mistake about it. That's what they want. They want a two-class society. The ruling class and their supporters, the zillionaires, and the poor. They want to melt the middle class down into the lower class. They want to take from you and give to the people on the bottom, the takers. They don't want to take it from George Soros. They don't want to take it from Jeffrey Immelt's corporation. They don't want to take it from Gates' Microsoft. They don't want to take it from Google. They don't want to take it from Facebook. They want to take it from the middle class. Make no mistake about it. Because for the middle, for the people at the top, there's not enough 767s that you can have at NASA hangars and pay no rent on them. If he could get another 767 for free even and have the government give it to him, he'd take it. That's the way it works. But I'm getting too far afield for the average listener. The average guy who's out there doesn't know what I'm saying in a way. And I recognize that. The Joe Sixpack listener may like me, but he may not even understand a lot of what I say because it's new in many ways and complicated in some ways. And I guess I have to go back to the same formula that has been used in talk radio for so many years, which is KISS, keep it simple, stupid, so that people can hear you. So I'll make it simple for all of us. I'll make it real simple. Which executive order would you fear most from this president? Because they're all talking about it tonight. 855-407-2822 is the phone number that gets you into the safe called the Savage Nation. Gets you right into the safe called the Savage Nation. You ring those numbers. You can't get in. What's the point of pumping it? Hi, Teddy. Again, the dog is demanding. See, he'll even interrupt the show for me to leave the studio and open up the studio door. Because nature calls right now. And he takes precedence over the show. Otherwise, I'm going to have a mess. Otherwise, I'm going to have a mess on the floor underneath the microphone. KCMO, Todd, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Awesome. Hey, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. Basically, what I want to say is these executive orders that's getting ready to be handing down, what they're throwing the hints out, is going to be a distraction towards the 2014 election cycle that we're getting ready to have here going on. That's what I think, and it's going to be setting up the Democrats and the Republicans to besmirch the Republicans to keep the Democrats in office so he doesn't lose power so that they can continue to move forward and press his agenda, and that's pretty much what I have.
Okay, well, I appreciate your insights. I'm not sure I agree with you, by the way. I believe that they're going to use strikes, demonstrations, or sabotage to get their way. That's what I believe. They're going to unleash the illegitimate masses of bums who live on government largesse to disrupt society. And the only people who will be disrupted by it will be the middle class. Certainly you're not going to be disrupted if you're in a private Boeing 767 down at NASA Ames Center. You won't be disrupted by it. You'll laugh all the way to Zurich to check on your gold supply. 855-407-2822. Phone number. Oh, we got Jimmy. How can I resist Jimmy? Jimmy on WABC, go ahead. You're up on the air.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of a revolution. It's like standing in the center of a tornado. Everything's spinning all around. But this is the result of 80 years of communist work in this country. It's not...
Jimmy, I agree with you. You've always been ahead of the curve. People have laughed at you for years. I didn't. I had you on since 90, whatever year in the 90s. But Jimmy, make it simple. When I talked about direct action, you agree with me, of course, on what they mean, the code word, right?
Yeah, that direct action, there used to be a group with that name. In fact, Jesse Jackson talked about street action. It definitely means militant action in the streets.
Thank you. And have you noticed there's been no riots in the streets under Obama? Have you noticed there's been no burning of garbage cans, no window breaking in Seattle, no attacking police horses with bricks and bats under Obama? Why should they attack when they're running the world?
That's right. They're winning, so they don't want to scare people.
Have you noticed that there's been very few attacks by radical Muslims in the United States under Obama? Why should they attack when they have such a friend in the White House?
Yeah. One more thing. Do you know that one of the founders of the First Intifada is also one of the founders and leaders of Occupy Wall Street?
Who would that be?
A publication called The Nation. So there's connections between all of these various left-wing radicals.
Of course there is. And, of course, if you look at some of the talking heads on MSNBC, they work for the same communist rag, The Nation.
Yeah.
So, and I see it for what it is. But, you know, what people don't understand is why General Electric, which owns NBC and MSNBC, permits these radical louts and gives them a microphone. It's to keep them off their backs so that they can continue to get away with paying as little tax as possible. That's my simplistic view of it. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, well, the left figured out they could neutralize what should be their natural opponents by giving them a chance to make money, so they neutralized that. They neutralize the religions. They penetrate the religions. They're all over. In fact, in their right...
Wait, how did they neutralize the religions?
Through penetration. See, they have an operation to destroy religion at the same time they're using religion to further their goals. It's amazing. They write about it. They have meetings about it. They have conferences about it. I've attended...
Right, well, today we had a big... they're all talking about Pete Seeger died today at 94. That's a code word to you. Those two words, Pete and Seeger, probably trigger rage in your head. You know who he is, right?
The man admitted he's a communist, and then he became a member of the group.
Did he sing with the Birds?
Excuse me?
Did he sing with a group called the Birds, if I had a hammer or whatever?
Oh, he wrote songs. I don't know if he sang with the Birds, but he wrote a lot of those songs that a lot of...
I know he was a loony bird. I know that. He was a huge influence on Bob Dylan, by the way.
So
he was a huge influence. He fought against injustice in America, and he did very well indeed. You know, there used to be a saying in Hawaii when I lived there that the missionaries came here to do good, and they did very well indeed. That reminds me of the entire Obama administration. That sort of sums it up, Jimmy. They pretend they're doing good, but they're doing very well indeed. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. The communists are like pimps. They find somebody who needs something, then they pretend, just like a pimp or a child molester would do, they provide what you need, but really they're using you, and by the time you find out, it's too late.
Yeah. Basically, it's too late. But the thing is, I do it in a classier manner, Jimmy, which is, they used to say that in Hawaii, the missionaries came over there to do good, and they did very well indeed. What do they mean by that? It means they stole the land from the innocent Hawaiians by giving them the mumbo-jumbo about the cross. They were happy pagans. They were happy with their lifestyle, you know, clubbing each other to death, whatever. However they lived, whatever. They had their own ways. They had their paganism, their religion, their voodoo, their tiki gods. And the missionaries sold them on the cross. And, of course, then they took a little land on the side, which they still own, the descendants. The fourth generation later, they're still sitting on the land that their grandfather ripped off from the Hawaiians. And so the phrase, they came to do good and they did very well indeed, I think applies directly to Obama. He talks to do good, and his friends do very well indeed. And it goes for every speech that Pelosi has ever given. Again, always the do-gooder. Oh, yeah, we're out for them. Right. Yeah, out for the poor, and they do very well indeed. You get it? See, sometimes things can be said simply and in a classy manner. You don't have to use words of the type that they use in the White House behind closed doors when they invite Jay-Z and the other geniuses of the music world. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
So anyway, look, they're all using the code word action. Pelosi says the president's going to use action. White House Chief of Staff, code word, we're going to use action. Podesta, we're going to use action. And so it's a code word from the radical anarchist feminist left of direct action. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to scare the middle class into submission. And they're going to use the Occupy group and the other thugs that form the shock troop, the shock troops of the Democrat Socialist Party USA. It's that simple. Don't you think they come out and say it? No one comes out and says what they're going to do in this country. Everything is propaganda and lies. And so those of us who look at it and watch the world go by try to tell you and inform you in advance of what's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's just a nice, benign president with a nice family who wants to do good for the middle class. But I kind of doubt it after, well, whatever. Let's leave it at that. I kind of doubt it. Okay, we'll leave it at that. And then Boehner finally comes out from behind the cloakroom door, puts down the drink, and he says that Obama, he says to Obama, we have a constitution. And he warns against bypassing Congress to govern by executive order. And he's been, I've been covering the whole executive order story here on the Savage Nation, what they are, when they were passed, what they're for. And the thing for you to remember when Obama tries to exceed his powers once again is what you learned tonight on the Savage Nation. It's most important that you do, which is that the executive order goes back to George Washington, yes. But it gives a president the power to, quote, take care that the laws are faithfully executed, period. They're not allowed to write law. That would make him a dictator. Roosevelt tried it, and he was fought over it, President Roosevelt, during World War II. And it took to the Supreme Court, and it was ruled invalid in Youngstown Sheet and Tube Co. versus Sawyer because FDR tried to make law rather than clarify or act to further a law put forth by the Congress of the Constitution. Obama knows that as a former mediocre constitutional scholar. I say mediocre because he's never published anything. I have no idea what he's ever written because no one can find it. But nevertheless, apparently he studied the U.S. Constitution somewhere along the way. And so he knows very well. Again? Boom, boom, boom. All right, well, anyway, I made my point. That's the main thing. If you care to join the conversation, it's easy. No, it isn't. There's no lines. The revival tent of the Savage Nation is bursting at the seams. The sweating masses are crowding in. They're elbowing each other to get closer to the podium, to listen to the savage man up on stage simply talking about the world the way he sees it. It's that simple.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We did not treat President Bush this way. We worked with him to pass the biggest energy bill, to do the TARP, as I mentioned, to do PEPFAR and the AIDS drug, to do many things. We opposed him on the war in Iraq, and we opposed him on the privatizing Social Security, but we thought we had a responsibility to work with the president to get a job done for the American people, and we did. This obstruction to President Obama is something quite stunning and something quite different.
That's all, folks. It doesn't get any better when we get a Nancy Pelosi. And that's all, folks. When we get a Nancy Pelosi soundbite, it makes our day. It's unbelievable. She's talking about oppressed women. Here she is, one of the richest, most powerful women in the universe. But they can't stop, don't you understand? I don't know who believes a word any of them say. Oppressed women, and he's going to speak for women. Obama's going to protect women. They're all oppressed in America. It's the four horsewomen of the apocalypse who are running the world right now, and they're all oppressed. Yeah, right, okay. And, of course, they didn't obstruct Bush. They were just getting along with everything Bush did. Right. So, by the way, a correction. I told you when I make a mistake, I try to correct it immediately. We were talking about executive orders, and I said that an executive order can only be used to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. They cannot be used to make law. And then I said in 1952, FDR issued an executive order that was overturned by the Supreme Court because it attempted to make law. I meant Harry Truman. It was Executive Order 10340, where he put steel mills with striking workers under federal control. Well, the order was challenged, and the Supreme Court ruled that FDR's executive order was invalid. Why? Because it attempted to make law rather than clarify or act deferred. Again, I said FDR. Truman. True man, the most invisible president who used two atomic bombs. By the way, as a side note about Truman, a historian I know pointed something out. She's an avid reader, and when the Japanese who we were at war with at the time heard that FDR had died and that a new president by the name of Truman had been elected, they were terrified because they know that names have great symbolism. And they said, oh, my God, there's a new president in America called True Man. True Man. True Man. and they were afraid that he was going to devastate them, and devastate them he did. That's a true story. That's a true story. So what's in the name? Well, who knows? We don't know, but in that case, we know. They didn't like the harbinger of the name True Man. And you heard it first, right here on the Savage Nation. Not bad. Radio can be fun, can be good. I've enjoyed the show thus far. I'm pausing in a certain way. It's like a middle of the game break. Yesterday I went to the dermatologist. I know I'm not supposed to. I'll tell you, I went to the dermatologist as I said I would. I have to go again tomorrow to burn off the precancerous lesions. It happens to anyone over a certain age. And I spent too many years, collecting plants in the sun. I didn't know any better. I was an idiot. It's like eating barbecued food. Who knew? Who knew that the grill itself was your cancer? The co-carcinogens of the benzoapyrenes on the steak and all of that. Who knew? I don't eat that garbage anymore. When I see neighbors barbecue, I ask myself, what planet are they from? How could they not know that benzoapyrenes on meat is a co-carcinogen? I don't know. How can they feed their children pastries and coffee in the morning at Starbucks? All of the ditzy blondes sitting here in Marin County. I don't say anything. I just walk by and I'm an observer. So it comes up every year. They burn them off. They got to get under the skin so it doesn't go in and this and then filaments. It's like a fight against the inevitable, the box. It's this constant fight against the inevitable. And that's what we do our whole life. It's ward off death. Our whole life is warding off the demise of a nation or the demise of our person. When you think about it, it's actually one and the same. So this administration is sort of like a cancer that's invaded the body politic. Yeah, oh yeah, but not a bad analogy. Everything we fought against for like 50 years to stop, we wake up and it's metastasized inside the body politic. It's true. Everything we were warned about would happen when the country would be infiltrated by those who abhor the Constitution and freedom is happening right in front of our eyes. Take me out to the ball game. Ba 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 ba. Let me hear some degenerates at the Grammys and Obama. I mean, come on. What do you think it is? Guns and Roses, right? Well, there's no guns. It's just roses. But it's not even roses. It's all thorns. So, anywho, I went to the derm yesterday. After the show, I got there like 5 o'clock or something. She saw me at the end of the day. And she gave me the spray job. Now, it always leaves me wiped out. They always tell you it shouldn't, but it does. For 2 days, I'm worn out. My immune system gets wiped out by the nitrous oxide. I think they use NO. I don't know what they use in that spray can. That ice, it freezes it, right? To me, my immune system goes into like a hyperactive overdrive and reacts to it. I get tired. I get a headache. I didn't want to do the show, but I did. And I'm doing a fabulous job. I think that the treatment is actually helping me do a better show. It's thrown me slightly off base. So I'm a little less perfectly rational than I normally am, and I'm able to sing and dance for you today, which is why I sang some songs tonight. I think I'm a little loopy from that spray, but I can't wait till tomorrow when I have it done again. Oh, that's going to be real fun, a double dose in 1 week. Well, we get the top layer, and they drew a picture. We hope we get deep enough without going too deep. We go too deep. I said, can't you just cut it out? Oh, that's a disaster. You don't want. You can put a wipe on it, an anti-immune, or this. I said, I tried it 2 years ago. My skin turned brown. It lights it all up. Sun is a disaster. How is that? The very thing we were told was good for us when we were young. Everything we were told was good was a disaster. The sun, cancer. Barbecued food, stomach cancer. Whatever. I mean, everything we were force-fed as children, all bad. Well, I remember going back to when I used to go to a certain shoe store in the Bronx. This is a funny story, but it's true. I don't want to talk about executive orders for a few seconds. When I was a kid, okay, people like my stories, but this is a true one. It shows you how ignorant people were. They weren't stupid. They were just ignorant. Who knew? You took your kid to a shoe store. I don't know what the name of it was. Buster Brown, I think. They had an x-ray machine in the store. No one knew x-rays were harmful. Who knew? It was like thinking marshmallows are good for your stomach. The kid put his foot inside the machine. You stood on it. And it gave you an x-ray, basically like an x-ray of your foot. And you saw the bones of your foot moving around inside the shoe you were trying on. It was a great marketing gimmick. So if you were there with your sister, let's say, and she was being fitted for shoes already, she went through the fluoroscope job, and you were a kid who was fidgety, you'd put your foot in over and over 100 times. I put it in and press the button and zap my foot just to see my bones. I thought, it's like Halloween. Every second was Halloween, and it kept me occupied. This way I didn't run out and play in traffic. So my mother's sitting with my sister. The shoe is going on, her foot, and I'm pressing the button, zapping my feet over and over again. Who knew? No one knew. Now, so far my feet haven't, you know, God thank you, forget about it. I have nothing. Maybe it was so low a dose. Who knows? But I think I put my hand down there once. Who knows what else I stuck under the machine to see the bones? You know, I don't know what else. I brought an uncooked chicken and put it in. No, I didn't do that. Now, today, the kids are so wacky, they could put their dog inside of such a machine. Can you imagine the lawsuits with the psychotic lawyers we have today? Everything you do, oh, can't do that. Why? Lawyers. Oh, can't do that. Lawyers. Oh, can't protect you, ma'am. Lawyers. Cops can't do their jobs. Lawyers. Doctors can't do their job. Lawyers. Lawyers can't do their job. Lawyers. Corporations can't create anything. Lawyers. Products can't be made. Lawyers. Every medicine that's created, you got a bunch of vultures out there taking ads, making up diseases that don't exist, ready to sue the company that makes the cure. How do they get away with it? What kind of sane country is this? It isn't. It's insane, out of control, melting down, going to H in a handbasket. Bush tried to rein in, by the way, to his credit, the trial lawyers. They ripped him to shred. They're now running the country. Never forget that Bush, for all of his failings, was great in some areas, and one of them was he was not a lawyer. And he didn't think like a lawyer who thinks only of suing. On the other hand, we now have a lawyer running the country. Look how that's worked out. But he wasn't even a lawyer who made any money in private practice, by the way. He was only a college teacher lawyer. That is the worst kind, because those who can do, those who can't teach. That's an old saying. You know, when you think about it, if Obama had gone into private practice and made money as a lawyer, I'd respect him more. But he couldn't. He didn't even have the brains for that. Instead, he got a staple gun and went around and put up billboards, you know, pictures of take it all down, man. So now we have a progressive war going on in America against everything that's worth living for. What's ironic to me and what kills me the most is that they keep attacking the 1% when it's the 1% who put him in power and keep him in power. It just riles me. How do they get away with it? Who believes a word of this crap? Anyway, okay, I had my break now. That was my break. God, you know what someone said to me? You have the most phenomenal show opening of any new big show in the history of radio. All right, this is a new show. Day part, prime time, started January 1st. First live show was January 2nd, season 20, episode 19 of The Savage Nation. What did they expect, a bad opening? I mean, I've been doing it for 20 years. I knew it would be a great show. I know people are going to continue to flock to it as long as God gives me the strength to do it. And some days are better than others. My energy level is better. Let me tell you the key to talk radio just for a minute. Forget the show prep. Everyone does that. There's no one who can fake this anymore. There's too much competition. If you're not giving people any meat, they're going to stop listening to you. If you're going to get up there every day and do the same thing, they're not going to listen to you. If you're going to get up and just, you know, as I mail it in, they're not going to listen to you. So we over-prepare. I mean, I drive the three guys who work for me crazy. From 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm on the phone with them. Because we got to have meat. So when I did a show on executive orders, not only did we get you the history of them, who did them, da-da-da, but we got you sound to go with it, et cetera, and gave you a new idea on the direct action concept. But that's not enough for a good radio show. The real secret is that you have to feel good. You have to have a certain lightness inside your soul to do the show, to do a show well. If you can get up into that helium level, you can do a really great show without losing your mind altogether. I mean, you can start to float altogether and lose control. You can't do that. So you got to get off the ground, you got to float, and you got to, you know, it's very much like a sport, whether it be any sport on earth. You ask any athlete, you've got to be able to float, be loose, and yet be disciplined at the same time. And it's the same exact parameters in radio. I guess in any performing art, singing is the same thing. How many years does it take a singer to learn how to sing properly where they sound like they're spontaneously singing? How many years does a jazz saxophonist have to practice, or a musician of any kind, until they can improvise where the improvisation starts to sound fluid, original, and frankly delight the audience at the same time? That's the essence of talk radio. And I hope to achieve that on a daily basis. And thankfully I had enough dermatological intervention yesterday to have achieved that today. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
You look at the talking useless idiots on CNN, any of them, and they're talking about the deep freeze like that's news. I'll give you some news. This guy is purging the military. You want some news? He just did it again. He did it again while you slept, you moron. Ooh, who's at the Super Bowl? Ooh, it's cold. Hey, who's at the Super Bowl? What's that new song with the new dirty word in it? You know what Obama just did? He just implicated more officers in a fake cheating scandal, and he doubled the number of officers now being thrown out of the nuclear command. A U.S. Air Force investigation into exam cheating by America's nuclear missile officers has now widened, with roughly double the original 34 nuclear command officers now under review. A U.S. official said on Tuesday, speaking on condition of anonymity. Listen, my worst nightmare is this man is deballing the military, cutting out any general who might stand up to him, any general with any guts and any glory in his blood, and I fear the worst from this administration. You believe a word of this? A cheating scandal? Defense Secretary Chuck the Bagel Hagel ordered a high-level review of the nuclear forces, blah, blah, blah. And remember what they did to the head of it? Remember that one? The investigations come only months after the head of the ICBM force, Air Force Major General Michael Carey, was fired for getting drunk and going out with women last year while leading a government delegation to Moscow. Now, if you tell me that's not a trumped-up charge from the Soviet era, I'd like to know what is. A man is off duty and he gets a few drinks and goes out with women, and they fire a guy with that kind of experience as the head of our ICBM force? Why? Why would you do it unless you wanted to put a stooge in from one of America's worst and lowest colleges? So they report only to you, the dictator, you idiots, and you're sitting here worrying about the minimum wage. All right, I gave you breaking news. You want to talk about the snow and the Super Bowl? Go ahead. You got that option. I'm telling you, something's afoot. Something's wrong. Any brain out there, anyone who could think, could see what this man is doing. It's a charade. Okay, Brad on WABC, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. On the eve of the State of the Union, I can't help but see an analogy between the Obama administration, comparing them to the seed pods in the original invasion of the body snatchers, and how a mass mind takeover, brainwashing of the country, of the idiots in this country, and you being the doctor, Dr. Bunnell from the original movie, trying to warn the country of what's going on and how we have to, what we got to do to save this country, and no one's paying attention to him until finally at the end of the movie, the doctor in the hospital happens to find out that from someone that got killed, that a truck was found with these seed pods, and they were coming from the city where this doctor, you know, originated from. And he finally starts calling the FBI, you know, to finally like do something. And I just look at that, and I just see you as the guy that's trying to warn the country about.
It is like the invasion. Look, you make a chilling analogy. This administration may as well be from a planet that invaded America. They're from another planet. These are not Americans. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if they're offended by it. I hope they're offended by it. They're not acting like Americans. They're not talking like Americans. They're not enacting policies that are American. They may as well be a foreign power that has invaded America. I want you to listen to, well, I can't do it now. In the next hour, we're going to play Valerie Jarrett. Again, if you listen, she says we're going to use action. All of them are using the word action. It goes back to direct action. I'm warning you. I'm warning you that this is a most nightmarish scenario. You don't want to believe me? Your business. All I can do is tell you what I see. That's what you're paying me for. It's that simple. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, welcome to hour number three. In the first 2 hours, I pointed out the code words that the president and his shock troops are using to warn us what he's about to do. And the code word is action. It comes from direct action, a phrase that goes back quite a while in the anarchist feminist world and is used often amongst some of the worst characters in the history of America on the college campuses. And every one of them uses the word action. They're basically telling us about the Kristallnacht in the minor key that they're about to inflict upon us over the next few years. And I am frankly frightened when I see that he keeps firing commanders in our military under trumped-up charges. Getting drunk in Russia with a woman, and he fires the head of the ICBM command, and now he takes 34 nuclear missile commanders and doubles it to 76 or 68, whatever, and says they're going to go for a cheating scandal? Do you believe a word of this man? A cheating scandal? How about the Democrats in Congress and their contracts and cronyism? How's that for a cheating scandal? But I talked about the executive orders that they're all hinting he's going to, you know, engage in. And, of course, the propagandists at CNN and Fox are now showing that his number of executive orders is actually lower than that of Bush and Clinton. Say, oh, well, it's just right-wing hysteria. Well, it doesn't matter what number of executive orders that are issued. What matters is what they are. One executive order can trump 100. And so when he passed the NDAA at one New Year's Eve in December of 11, as I pointed out in Trickle Down Tyranny, that executive order alone is worse than 200 of Bush, 200 that Bush passed. So it's not just by the numbers. Don't give it to me by numbers. It's more of the same propaganda. So we've been talking about that. And we've been talking about the word action, direct action, what it really means. But the main question tonight has been, as President Obama prepares to deliver the State of the Union address, what is your biggest fear? What is the number one executive order that you fear most? If you care to join the show, you know the number. Before we take your calls, I want to play a soundbite of Valerie Jarrett, one of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, a woman who was never elected. Very few people know who she is. We all know who she is, those of us who study these things. She is one of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse who is running the world. I want you to listen to clip 9.
We don't give up just because we didn't accomplish it in 1 year. And what the president will do tonight is set forth very specific, concrete proposals that he thinks will move our country forward, create opportunity for hardworking Americans who want to succeed. I think that those proposals are going to call for action. He will continue to push Congress to pass major pieces of legislation. And whether it's immigration.
This is all window dressing. Take action. When they talk about jobs and Congress and minimum wage, nonsense, all window dressing, nothing, it's chaff. Anyone who flew a jet, which I haven't done, but those who have flown jets know what the word chaff means. It's used to deflect the missile path of an oncoming missile. It's chaff, it's a distraction. Even you can understand that. Even if you live in Boca Raton, Florida, you can understand what chaff is. It's very much related to how you vote down in Florida with hanging chads. Hanging chaff. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website that you should go to, infidels. And there's someone calling me. I'd like to pick the phone up and curse them out. How does anyone who knows me call me during a show? I'm not going to do it, though. I'll do it after the show. So what do you fear the most? Or what's the call that you'd like to make? WISW Rick. WISW Rick, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Dr. Savage, thank you. I just want to say that I look forward to hearing your show. I feel like a person must have felt in Nazi-occupied Europe waiting for the next broadcast of the BBC so I could learn what the Allies are doing. And I just want to say that my biggest fear is that Obama wants to stir up enough trouble and agitate so that he can somehow stop the 2014 elections from taking place. Because the Democrats are afraid of losing Congress.
They will lose Congress if there's a free and fair election. Even the tepid, moderate, check pants Republican Party will sweep the election. Everybody knows that. That's why many of the Dems have bailed out. They know they're in deep trouble, but it's mainly over Obamacare. The people are very simple. They don't know anything about the firing of generals. They don't know anything about the gutting of the military. They know only about the bread and butter issues, and the Obamacare is hitting them where it hurts, okay? But that alone is enough to bring down the Democrat Party, which is why enough of these corrupt Democrat socialists are jumping ship right now. And I appreciate your compliments about Radio Free London. Yep, very few people understand what he meant, but we are like an occupied nation. This country has been occupied by a far-left radical band that means us harm at every turn, in every institution, wherever you look, where these moles have infected themselves. They have wrecked everything they've touched. Do I have to give you the litany? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Do you have any idea why I do this? You know what makes me work every day? Do you know how bad it really is? Okay, I'm not going to go down that road. You don't want to hear it. It's too much. I get it. So we'll keep it light. I'll start singing again, Standing on the Corner. Maybe it'll make you happy. I'll start singing Standing on the Corner, Watching All the Libs Go By. Maybe that'll get you listening to the show a little more. Now listen to the rest of the fluff put out by... Does anyone know who Valerie Jarrett is? Why she's in there? Who her father was? Her sympathies with Iran? Her alleged sympathies with the very people we're allegedly fighting? Do you have any idea who I'm talking about? Now listen again. This is one of the first times you've ever heard her. Clip 10. Play clip 10.
The president has never paid a lot of attention to the poll numbers. When he comes to work in the morning...
Stop. Stop. You're the first lie? The breezy little Valerie Jarrett? The president never paid a lot of attention to the poll numbers. They live on polls. They live on poll numbers. Who is she kidding? Now listen to the rest of the crap she feeds out to the idiots. Listen to this one. The rest
has never paid a lot of attention to the poll numbers. When he comes to work in the morning, he's thinking about the letters that he read the night before from, you know, a single mom who's struggling hard to make ends meet and take
you
care
hear?
Of her children and her parents
you
and, is suffering under a minimum wage. And what can he do to raise
you
her wage so that she doesn't have to raise her children in poverty?
Can you believe a word of this rubbish? So he reads a letter from some loser at the bottom of the heap, and that's what motivates him? He's not worried about Russia, China. He's not worried about Syria. Not worried about what he did to the Egyptians. Not worried about what he did to the Syrians. Not worried about what he did to the Libyans. Not worried about what he did to the Israelis. He's worried about a single mother on welfare and how he can help her. That's the motivation. That's what gets Valerie Jarrett up in the morning. She's not worried about making certain that Iran gets a nuclear weapon. She's worried only about that single mom. That's their whole modus operandi. Their whole be all and end all. The single mom, that's the whole motivation, is the single mom to raise the minimum wage. Unbelievable. Clip 11, please.
Those are the kinds of stories that motivate the president every day, and his energy and his enthusiasm for supporting those hardworking Americans is as strong today as it ever was. And you just don't give up. You just keep coming back at it again and again, and you do what you can to take action on your own so that you aren't simply waiting for Congress, because certainly
okay.
The American
see that? Take action on your own so you're not waiting for Congress. Again, the word action. Code word for direct action. Code word for radical action. Code word for executive orders. Again, over and over and over. They're all on the same page. They're slipping in the word. It's a code word. The code word is very worrisome because it comes from the anarchist feminist left who has infected the body politic like the enemy that they are. They're now running the country. Now, if they were doing a good job, we wouldn't be having this conversation, would we? See, if the radical anarchist feminist left was doing a good job and you felt more secure and the economy was doing well, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. My job would be completed. I'd be off the radio. I would just seek, greener pastures. Let's put it that way. But no, things are not better than they were before the radical feminist anarchist left put their man into the White House and took over the country. The four horsewomen of the apocalypse are the worst managers in the history of this republic. They're wrecking everything they touch. Let me be very clear. They hate the military. If they could, they would deball it completely. If they could get away with it, they would take the guns away from our troops. If they could get away with it, they'd take the guns away from our police. If they could get away with it, they would make certain that our airplanes are scrapped and our ships were sunk. That's how vile they are. But they couldn't get away with that right now. So instead they give you the rubbish about the single mom and how hard she's struggling and how Obama can't sleep at night worrying about the single mom and how that motivates the president and how he's going to help the disadvantaged young people. Hey, I was a disadvantaged young person. Nobody helped me. You know how I was helped as a disadvantaged young person? My father goaded me and said, listen, whatever you're going to have in life, you're going to earn on your own because I can't give it to you. I was a disadvantaged youth. My father was an immigrant. Said, the president's going to help them get into school. Hey, let's get them into school. We're going to go to college. We're going to go to college. Let's all disadvantage kids into school. We had that at Queens College. When they had admissions that mattered, it was a great school. And the minute they had open admissions, they turned it into a trash heap. They debased every institution at Queens College. It went into the garbage. Disadvantaged student. Not everyone's made for college. Some aren't made for anything but a prison cell. That's why the jails are bursting at the seams. They're not all brain surgeons waiting to be discovered. They'd have you believe everyone in prison is a brain surgeon, but because of racism, they wound up behind bars. Every illegal alien is another Einstein. But you're such a racist, you can't understand their language, so you don't know how brilliant they are. He may be holding a leaf blower now, but tomorrow he could have the keys to the universe. That's why we got to give 50 million people an amnesty. I never heard such rubbish in my life. How could you not see what these people are doing? This radical anarchist, feminist left, what they've done to this country. They've perverted the language itself. So you have Jay-Z, you have the other lowlifes. The lyrics are so vile you can't even repeat them. They're disgusting. They're invited to the White House. You hear? They're invited to the White House. 855-400-728. Now not only are they calling the cell, now they're calling the landline. It's liable to be a family member. I can't. If I pick it up and curse them out, then it'll be very bad for us, so I can't do that. People don't know I'm on the radio right now? What do they think, the whole show is recorded? It's live. Now I'm going to pick it up in 2 minutes and curse, but I can't do it. 855-407-282. My problem is I have the phone right next to the microphone. All right, welcome to the Savage Nation. 30 Days to a More Powerful Vocabulary is the show. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
We sit here and try to make sure that there's access to good-paying jobs, high-tech manufacturing, retirement security for Americans. Rather than sit and wait for Congress to take action, we're going to go ahead and roll out on our own using the president's authorities. We'll look to work with Congress where we can, but I think as we've seen over the last several years now, Congress sometimes is a little slow to action. We're not going to wait for that.
We're not going to wait for that. All cumbersome democracy. Oh, it's just so cumbersome. And we have such a slick guy in the White House. He doesn't have to wait. That's Speedy Gonzalez in the White House. He can't wait for that cumbersome Congress. So he'll just do it by sort of fiat, executive order, fascism, in other words, by any other name. And he'll do it under the guise of jobs for the middle class. You watch and see. So we now, what's the 28th? This is season 20, episode 19 of The Savage Nation. As I said to the new listeners, each show is connected to the shows that preceded it in some way or other. And this is my 20th year, so it's season 20. And each day is another episode, 16, 17, 18. This is 19 already. Tomorrow's 2020. Whoa. This is season 20, episode 19. Now, season 20, episode 18, which was yesterday, you missed that. You missed my discussion of carbophobia amongst the red diaper dopa babies and Hillary Clinton's new movie called Driving Bubba Crazy if she doesn't get elected. There was humor yesterday, but of course no one caught it because I'm the bad boy and no one hears what I say. They just look for me to make a mistake, which I never do, or to whatever. But yesterday was carbophobia and driving Bubba crazy. Today's topic, for those of you who keep track, is which executive order do you fear most that Obama will initiate? It's simple, but it's to the point. And we hear already now the snake Podesta, a George Soros minion, the White House Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough, saying that we'll go around Congress if we have to. So get ready. You have a Homeland Security Director who no one ever heard of, who says that illegal aliens have earned the right to be citizens. That is right out of 1984. That makes no sense. How could you be here illegally and earn the right to be a citizen when legal immigration requires that you wait in line, learn the language, take a test? How could they earn the right to be a citizen if they can't read or write the language? if they don't know who the president of the United States was before Obama? How can they earn the right to be anything but deported? Well, anyway, we live in strange times, and strange times makes for strange bedfellows. Which executive order you fear most is a really good topic, I must say. I really like the topic, because it will affect liberals as well. They don't understand that. They think they're going to be immune. They don't understand that an executive order is like a virus. It doesn't discriminate. Write that one down. You haven't heard it before. You haven't heard that yet, have you? An executive order is like a virus. It does not discriminate. And I don't care who the president is. You got to watch out for their executive orders, because they're superseding our constitutional, the powers that were granted by the Constitution. Remember what I said to you at the outset of the show tonight. The executive order does not permit a president to write law. It gives him the power to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. He can't make law. If he does, he's impeached. If he does, that's it. Toast. Gone. But we don't have a separation of powers anymore. We have Clink on the other side and no news to speak of. We're living in an insane time, totally insane. And all you can do in an insane time is laugh at them, because they're just laughable. Dangerous, but laughable. All we've got left is our humor, our sarcasm, our cynicism, our ridicule. And let me remind you of something else. The First Amendment was passed to protect offensive speech. And I'll tell you something else if you don't know it. The First Amendment is unnecessary in a dictatorship. The First Amendment is unnecessary for polite speech. The First Amendment was meant to protect offensive speech. It was meant to protect dissension. Dissension of the type you're hearing tonight on the Savage Nation. And I stand in opposition to this emerging dictatorship. I am not going to stand here and I'm not going to salute this man in the White House. I will not do it. He has debased the institution itself. I talked about the despicable nature of American culture as exemplified by the so-called Grammy Awards, where every other word was a filthy rapper word, a piece of garbage from the gutter.
Savage.
You know, you make these choices based on imperfect information, and you make them to, as we say, the best of your ability, but that doesn't mean that there's not going to be unforeseen consequences, unpredictable twists and turns. You know, my biggest, you know, regret is what happened in Benghazi. It was a terrible tragedy.
Yeah, well, it was. Not only for the people who died and for America's, let's say, image abroad, but frankly, it will plague Hillary all the way up to and through the election. We know she's the putative candidate. She's the one who's going to run. And the question I raise to you, maybe it's too soon to ask you, is who do the Republicans really have who can really win? I don't mean who's not a good person. Plenty of good conservatives out there. But who can actually win? I suppose that Christie would have won had he not been smeared by the socialist Democrat corrupt machine of America, you know, with the bridge closing. I mean, you can talk about the bridge closing all you want. It's certainly not as big as Benghazi Gate, IRS Gate, or any of the other scandals surrounding the Democrats. They did it to take him out because as moderate a Republican as he is, okay, he was electable. And he was the only choice thus far to emerge from the entire Republican side who can prove and raise the money and defeat Hillary. So the old Clinton machine took them out. They got their little minions over there on the wards of New Jersey and elsewhere in the Sopranosville to do their dirty work, and the rest is history. Now Christie is on the ropes. The question is, can the Republicans marshal anyone else? I don't know who it is. Tell me who the Republicans have. That's one topic. We're open to other topics. I have my way of looking at the world. I'm an immigrant son. That's important to know. So I have one foot in the old world, one foot in the poor world, one foot in the current world, one foot in the future world. I think I see the world the way most Americans who think see the world. You could put me on a dock with dock workers, and I can guarantee you they'd understand what I'm saying and that it's in their interest to listen. Obama, we've especially got to teach young men to show women the respect they deserve. Where is this coming from? Let's hear clip 18, because this is bizarre. This whole thing was sexual harassment from the president. I want to hear clip 18, Neil.
I've created the White House Task Force to protect students from sexual assault.
We're going to help schools do a better job of preventing and responding to sexual assault on their campuses. Because
How about helping them teach reading, writing, and arithmetic instead of sexual assault? I mean, everything is upside down. The eye that alters, alters all. Blake wrote that. The eye that alters, alters all. And apparently Obama's eyes were altered a long time ago, where everything is seen through the lens of this far-left academic universe, where the biggest problems in the world are not the real problems facing America. So now it's his job to teach young people how to behave. Of course we want women to be protected, but what is he going to do? What does he want boys to do? Not look at a girl? Not talk to a girl? Not ask a girl on a date? How far do you want to go with this insanity, Mr. President? Is this the job of a government? He thinks so. Listen to clip 19. Listen to 19.
Some of this is a job for government, but really, it's up to all of us. We've got to teach young people, men and women, to be brave enough to stand up and help put an end to these crimes.
Ah, come on with these crimes.
Especially
it's an epidemic.
There's
a bunch of crap put out by the women's movement, the radical leftist women.
Every young man in America to know that real men do not hurt.
We know that. We know that.
Who are fathers have a special obligation.
We know that.
Every young man out
what father teaches their son to abuse women? See, this is his answering to one of his core constituencies, the radical, crazy, leftist women's groups, who are telling him there's an epidemic of sexual assault in the military, on campuses, and he's got to control it. It's a method of taking over the country, in my opinion. Everybody opposes violence against women. I oppose violence against America, by the way. I'd rather hear more of the government's time spent on stopping the violence against America. And I mean the Islamo-fascist violence and infiltration of America. That's what I want to talk about is when America slept. That's what I want to talk about is the penetration of every agency in this country by this propaganda and a movement towards Sharia law. And if you think I'm just making it up, you don't know what's going on around you. But forget about it because it's too far ahead of the curve to even talk about it. How about one politician talking about the death of culture in America? Did you see the vile sickness in the Grammys? Did anyone see the vileness and listen to the lyrics of the gutter rats who were giving each other awards? The words were so filthy and dirty, I can't even repeat them on the show. And there was a great editorial on death of culture in America, Grammy award style, on the Fox News website by Tommy DeCino, who contributes to Ricochet.com. He's an attorney and proud Catholic. He hails from Asbury Park, New Jersey. And he said, in America, we recognize grand achievements of popular culture by bestowing various awards upon artists. Sunday night at the Musical Grammy Awards, we honored the following triumphs in lyrical creativity, reflective of our lofty artistic ideals. And then he quoted various rap stars with some of the dirtiest lyrics you could ever imagine. Every word was F and N and MF, S word. Every word was dirtier than the others. And so he says, history will show that in 2014, well, I can't even read the words, that's what's honored by these low-life, degenerate drug addicts, by the way, most of whom have been invited to the White House. That shows you what is going on in this country from the highest level downward. I'd like to see one politician talk about the degeneracy and the degradation of our family values in and what to do about it. Like one politician, name one who'll do that. There's only one, I don't think he's electable, and that's Rick Santorum. I had on the show, had him on the show 2 weeks ago. He's the only one who will talk about the degradation of our culture and family values. Thus far, the rest of the useful politicians will not talk about the things that matter to us, which is family. Family is the building block of every society. Family is the building block of every civilization. You destroy that building block, you destroy that society and that civilization. You know, every month I get a copy of Variety, which I never subscribed. I don't know how they got my name. I don't know what to do. It's overly large. I can't give them away. Nobody wants them. I do watch movies at night. I told you that. I try to avoid the gratuitously violent movies. I like drama and plots. I don't watch vampire movies. I don't watch supernatural movies. But I like movies. I think there's so much genius in filmmaking. I love to watch them. And as a fiction writer, I really enjoy it. I like television series. I love Magic City. It went nowhere. 3 million viewers. I like Boss. I thought it was fabulous with, I forget the actor's name. He'll get mad at me. 2.4 million viewers. It went nowhere. It was fabulous. Of course, I watch Sopranos reruns. You know, there's new stuff out, Black Sails, garbage. Terrible. I mean, such a hokey pirate thing. I have no idea why they even created it. Pirates who speak English like that are dressed like, mannequins and in Barney's. I don't get it. Pirates didn't look like that. You go to Pelican Bay, you go to one of the prisons in California like Corcoran, you'll see who look like pirates. They didn't look like an actor from Barney's. Da Vinci's Demons, I have no idea what it is. Spartacus, Gods of the Arena, I have no idea why anybody watches that stuff. But they're not particularly vile. They're entertaining, and that's fine. We need entertainment. We need to escape our daily lives. But when you listen to music and the awards they give each other and the lyrics of the music are so debased that you can't even repeat the words. It's music gone wild. It's the music of the most deranged, drugged-up people on the planet. And they're invited to the White House. Is it any wonder the people are shocked at the loss of values coming out of the White House and in the country in general? Every other word was F and S and N. Every other word was C word, MF word, S word. The ghetto garbage that has risen to the top of the music business has debased and destroyed the entire industry. I don't care how much money they make. It doesn't matter to me. It is garbage. It's trash. And the White House should not invite them there and give them a reward simply because they're popular. At least that's one man's opinion. You may not agree with me, but I know you do. At least I expressed the opinion of most Americans. Now, one Republican can get up once and say it's enough of this filth and garbage coming out of Hollywood. We are sick of these award ceremonies that glorify this filth, but you're never going to hear it. State of the Union coming. I hate the State of the Union Day. Of all the years I've been in radio, 20 years, it's my least favorite day in radio. The clapping drives me crazy. The idiots who stand there on Prozac or crack, whatever they're on, they don't stop. All the guys, they wore the glad handing and they're walking out and slapping them on the back, and it's the in crowd and everyone knows each other and this and the clapping. Every word he says, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Hey, they start in 5 minutes. And I want to say today, the state of the nation has never been better. And they don't stop clapping. How can you take it? What kind of country is this? A nation of monkeys, morons. You know, sometimes I watch the parliamentary debates in England, and they actually have to defeat each other verbally to make a point. They learn debating at Oxford or at Cambridge. They come from educated backgrounds. We seem to come from a nation of something other than educated human beings. What kind of State of the Union address is it where they go on with clapping for so long that it drowns out in a resonance anything that the president may have said? You can't even remember what he said. The whole thing is a sham and it's a waste of time. He's going to say nothing we haven't heard 1,000 times before. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
855-407-282. And I want to now go to clip number two from his Snake Podesta. Listen to Snake 2, clip 2 from
Podesta. There's a lot that he has the authority to do that's vested in him under the laws of the United States and his constitutional powers. And I think that he's looking forward to a year of action. And I think he's looking forward to tonight as a breakthrough year where he can lay out some of these practical, concrete ideas that will get people's on more stable economic
footing. Okay, let's stop right there. And that's all nonsense. It has nothing to do with jobs. It has simply one intention as executive orders, to increase his power and to reward his cronies. Now, there's an operational word that you may have missed that the Snake Podesta used. Given that he's from the far left and given that he's related to Soros in so many ways I can't even describe them to you, Podesta is Soros' puppet on a string in many ways. Soros funds a lot of his organizational operations. And when he used a key word, my hair stood up. Podesta just said he's looking forward to a year of action. You have to be a student of the radical left, as I am, to know what he means by that. The radical left has used a series of code words to get what they want through a sort of fascism. It's called direct action. If you were to study what direct action has meant, you'll understand what Podesta means by a year of action from the president. Look, I will not talk about the Super Bowl. I will not talk about what I ate for lunch because I don't eat lunch anymore. And the fact of the matter is, all those right-wingers do is bash Obama. Well, hey, someone's got to do it. I mean, it's difficult work, but someone's got to do it. When you've got a bunch of drug addicts in the media who won't do it, waiting for a job under Soros or Obama, and you got a bunch of sycophants in the media who don't know how to do it because they don't have the brains to do it, someone's got to do it. So once in a while, I'll do it. I try not to make it my stock and trade. But if he's going to give the speech of the year tonight, I mean, that's a good topic. What do we fear from this man through an executive order, since that's all we've been hearing? I'm going to use the pen. That's him. Podesta the Snake is brought in to say he's going to do direct action, basically. The White House Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough, says that he's going to use executive orders to get things done, so I shouldn't talk about it. Who should talk about it? MSNBC? Owned by General Electric? In business only to cover for the no taxes that they pay, in my opinion? So I asked you a question. Which executive order do you fear most? It's that simple, but you can't get on anymore. It's too late. Sorry, we're sold out. The tent is full. We're all waiting for the State of the Disunion speech to begin shortly. I mean, there's nothing to listen to on radio until then. You may as well tune into Mantovani music for what's coming until he goes on the air 3 hours from now. There's nothing to listen to otherwise. But look, it's all a lie. It's a president. He's a politician. What do you expect him to say? And look, how do you think he got where he is? Divide and conquer, affirmative action, race baiting, class warfare. Why should he change now? Here's an ordinary guy who became president using all the tricks of the left. He's going to change all of a sudden? Don't be stupid. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. This is Michael Savage. Mansions of the libs who bash the 1%. What am I talking about? The frauds in Hollywood who continue to espouse class warfare. I've got pictures of the mansions of around 20 of them up on michaelsavage.com. You know, as we drift into the end of this third hour, Tuesday, January 28th, 2014, it's all about envy, hatred being promulgated by Obama, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. They're all one and the same cabal. Make no mistake about it. It may as well be Al Sharpton in the White House as President Obama for the rhetoric. It's about the same. So take a look at the mansions that the libs live in who bash the one percenters. Then take a look at George Soros. George Soros, perhaps the most dangerous man in the history of the universe. I'm joking. Probably not the most dangerous, probably the most devious man in the modern world, in my opinion, hanging out with none other than John the Shane McCain. We got a picture of them. Beneath that on michaelsavage.com, the White House has the Elite of Day blog post warning against marijuana legalization. It's priceless. It's just priceless. And by the way, why are we all hearing so much about drug legalization all of a sudden? Why is marijuana suddenly being legalized? It's to control the population. It's in my latest newsletter, which you can get for free by simply going to michaelsavage.com and clicking on, you know, get the newsletter free box. The real reason marijuana laws are suddenly being liberalized across America is part of the government's plan to make citizens more malleable, more cooperative, and less interested in the many crimes the Obama administration is carrying out. The country is being flooded with drug addicts. It's as simple as that. It's one man's opinion. I don't care what you think. Get your own show if you disagree with me. Now let's go back to the hotter news. House GOP supports citizenship for children of illegals. That's John the Clink Boehner. Palestinians say no Jews will be allowed to stay in the Palestinian state. Wow, what a tolerant religion that is, isn't it? You know, I thought about the most racist people on the planet. Tell me what race is the most racist group on the planet. Think about that one. Communist folk singer Pete Seeger has died. What a loss that is. Pentagon is fuming as Afghanistan frees hardened Taliban fighters. Muslim jihadists kill 74 in attacks on Christians. Can you answer the question yet? Which group is the most racist on the planet? Let me read you a few more headlines. Muslim jihadists kill 74 Christians in attacks on churches. Oh, you didn't know about that? It didn't make it to your local newspaper telling you about racism in America? Finally, if you don't know where I stand, why don't you go and listen to the audio on why I oppose amnesty? All of this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Oh my goodness, did you see what's happening? The train is coming into the station. I hear it coming in. And I recommend you go to the bookstore and check out Train Tracks, my semi-autobiography. It is the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Savage. After a long day at work, there's nothing better than getting home, taking off your shoes, turning the lights down low, and settling into your favorite chair. It's time to let Hot Talk 560 KSFO melt your stress away.
What the hell are you going to wake up out there, you idiots? How much can you take?
from the vermin in the political structure and the scum in the media.
Michael Savage on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Idiots!